What's up, Baddie Bees? I'm Brianna, mom, wife, serial entrepreneur, and host of the Badass Basic Bitch podcast. Each week, I sit down with a seemingly ordinary woman who's doing extraordinary things, and I get to share her story with you. So let's go. Buckle up as we're going to get real and dive into the shit nobody talks about. Welcome to the Baddie Bee Club.
Everything starts with thought. And so when you really understand the power of your thoughts, that your thoughts, literally everything that we see around us was once a thought in somebody's mind. And so understanding that we have such power by how we use our thoughts and how we choose to think, and how you think is a choice.
Welcome back to another episode of Badass Basic Bitch. On today's episode, we have with us Sandra Chuma, who is a certified life, business, habits, and mindful coach. She is the founder of Worthy and mentors women in rediscovering their worth and taking confident action to create their extraordinary life. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking all about self-love and self-worth as the foundation for building and breaking habits. Sandra, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation.
So you have one of the most interesting backgrounds, which is why we reached out to you and wanted you on the podcast. And I would love for you to spend a little bit of time to tell our listeners about you. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about you and your background?
That's always, you know, considering how many podcast interviews I've done and how I have my own podcast and interview people, that's always the question that strikes fear in my heart, terror. It's like, oh my gosh, what do I say? Where do I begin? But thank you for asking. I'm going to take you right to the very beginning. I promise I won't be long. I was born and raised in Zimbabwe. And actually, at the time I was born, it was Rhodesia. And I was literally born and raised in a mud hut. We had no running water, no electricity. And one of the things, one of the most inspiring and definitely people who shaped who I am and what I've become were my parents, and also my grandmothers, both my maternal and my paternal grandmother. And what's really striking and really important about these two women who are such powerful figures in my life is that neither one of them ever went to school. Neither one of them ever had an education. My paternal grandmother never went to school. And unfortunately for her, my grandfather died before my father was born. And so she was left with no education to raise this little boy. So an incredibly hard upbringing, an incredibly challenging life. My maternal grandmother, again, also didn't have an education, and she worked as a housemaid for all of the years that she worked. And one of the my most vivid memories of my grandmother was her taking me on the bus with her to work. So she worked Monday to Saturday, and Saturdays was her half day. And so sometimes she'd take me with her, and when we'd go on the bus, she'd point out to me all these beautiful homes, these mansions, these, you know, houses with yards and cars parked outside. And she'd say to me, you know, Sandra, one day you're going to be able to go to school. And one day you'll be able to build a life for yourself like this. One day you'll have a house that looks just like this. And she'd point out all these houses. And I love to think of both my grandmothers, because they spoke dreams into me in their own way. But both my grandmothers, I like to think of them as my first coaches, you know, my first self-help mentors, because they inspired dreams in me, even though these were dreams that they themselves had never seen, dreams that they themselves could never realize. And ultimately, they inspired me to do what I do now, which is helping other women step into their dream.
That's such an amazing story. And it's crazy, because I think that was the one thing that I was reading about your background, of coming from that upbringing, like literally being brought up in a tiny mud hut without running water, without electricity, and the country was segregated, right? It was the struggle of like, why can't I play with kids of different colored skin than me? I think you were talking about that either on your website or a podcast. I forget where you were mentioning that, but it's just crazy to think about that is happening at the same time that I was growing up, where that's not, you know, very different experiences. So how did you get from there to where you are now? Like, I mean, obviously that's a loaded question and that could probably take an hour in itself, but what was the path that led you here?
Gosh, as you said, that's a long story, you know, the long story of my life. But, you know, if I had to tell the very condensed version, that, as I said, what my grandmother spoke into me, this dream of being able to go to school, ultimately became my reality. Because, and this is one of the things that I love to emphasize in people, and even, you know, some of the things that I've done going back to school to learn the power of story is the power of story. You know, the stories that we tell, because they told me a story that became in my mind, like possible that, oh, if my grandma says that one day I can live in a house like this, then, oh, it must be possible for me. And it really came from that. And of course, as I said, my parents were instrumental and I was blessed as well in a country that tends to be very patriarchal. I had a father who believed in equality of education, who believed that I, as a girl child, deserved to have a good education. I had a mother who believed in, and this is a cool story about my mom. When I got my high school diploma was when she got hers, like literally the same time.
Wow.
Yeah. And they always emphasized the importance of education and how education was the key to me creating a new life, a different life for myself. And so it was really the belief of people around me that led to me going to school, doing well at school, you know, eventually getting the opportunity to go abroad and, you know, get my first degree, my undergraduate degree, get master's degrees, go on to go to an Ivy League university and graduate top of my class there. So it really was, if I distill it down to like one thing, it was the belief that was instilled in me from an early age that it was possible, that a bigger dream than what I could see was possible for me.
I think it reigns so true because you experience what you believe. And in your childhood is where those first initial beliefs, especially for self-worth, are created. And so we hear those terms a lot, actually. Self-worth, self-love. What do they truly mean?
You know, one of the things that I think is so underappreciated is the importance and the power of self-love and self-worth. And I recently was doing some research and typed into Google. So if you type in the Google search bar, how do I learn to? The number one search term that comes up, and I've tried this with many people, the number one search term that comes up is how do I learn to love myself?
Love myself. Oh my God, I just did it.
You just did it.
How do I learn to love myself?
Is that not the most shocking thing? That we're literally turning to Google to figure out how do we love ourselves? Because for many of us, we brought up, at least I was, the messaging that was around me was loving yourself was selfish. It was, you know, you were, you know, full of yourself and if you loved yourself. And yet everything, all success stems from what do you believe to be true about yourself and your worth in the world and what you're capable of. And that ultimately is self-love. What do you believe you deserve to have? What do you believe you are worthy of having? And without that, nothing else matters, because oftentimes we think that it's a point solution. It's the reason I'm not successful in my business, because I work with a lot of women who are entrepreneurs. The reason I'm not successful in my business is because I don't have the right strategy. I don't have the right mentor. I don't have, you know, the right tools. And yes, of course, strategy is important. It's important to surround yourself with mentors. All of that is important. But if you fundamentally and foundationally don't believe that you are worthy of having the success that you want, you'll always find ways to self-sabotage. And, you know, you said something really powerful there where you said about the things that are said to us as children. Something that, and especially, my gosh, for your listeners who are parents, something can be a good thing, can be a scary thing to hear this. But part of what I've studied is the power of our subconscious mind and subconscious reprogramming. And what research says is that the majority of our beliefs about who we are, what is possible for us, are instilled by the time we're 7. By the time you're 7 years old, you have a set of beliefs that'll ultimately run your life for the rest of your life about where do I belong in the world? What's possible for me? What can I dream? What is possible for my dreams? And so when I think back now with hindsight, that is my grandmother's and them telling me what was possible for me that was beyond what they could see. My parents telling me that I deserved to go to school instilled in me the belief that, oh yeah, I can do that. So it really is so important what it is that we believe, and also foundationally what it is that we believe about ourselves and how we love ourselves.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And so it begins in the middle of the night. Feedings. That's right. Breastfeeding my newborn. In order to stay awake, I have been playing and find myself addicted to the game Best Fiends. It's a free to download mobile puzzle game with thousands of levels anytime. It has helped me stay awake and pass the time while breastfeeding, and I'm already over level 1000. It has over 100 million downloads. So that means I'm not the only one finding this game to be quite addicting. With offline play, you'll never be stranded without fun, even if you lose your internet connection. There are dozens of unique fiends to collect, so you can customize your team of fiends to defeat menacing slugs. Power up your favorite fiends to new levels for even more powerful skills and watch them transform as they get stronger. You've earned your fun time. So go to the App Store or Google Play to download Best Fiends for free. Plus, earn even more with $5 worth of in-game rewards when you reach level 5. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. F-I-E-N-D-S.
I come from an upbringing where my parents just couldn't provide me with those types of affirmations for whether it was mental health, addiction reasons, or just being a single mom of 5. Like, I didn't have that growing up, and it was not a healthy environment. And so part of my own personal journey was, for decades, reversing those beliefs. And I think my next question to you is, we get how childhood and life experiences shape our self-worth, but how can we begin to unlearn those beliefs about ourselves? Because they negatively impact us. To your point, career was a great one, but also our relationships. I found myself in a really toxic relationship because I didn't think or feel like I was worthy for much more. So how do we go about the unlearning of these beliefs?
That is such a great point, in that as children, we think that our children learn by us telling them words. And yes, that is part of it. Of course, they listen, but most of what they learn is what they see modeled, what they see happening. So we can say one thing, but it's really what they see us doing. And so, especially when you grow up in a home, like you said, in relationship where you don't see healthy relationships modeled, that becomes your paradigm, your belief about, oh, that's, you don't know any other way than to think that that's what a healthy relationship or normal relationship looks like. And so how do you start to unpack that? I think one of the most powerful things that we can all do, and it doesn't matter how great your childhood was, and, you know, our parents did the best that they knew how with the tools that they had. And I think that foundationally is the beginning point, is understanding that your parents, with what they knew, with the skills that they had, with the help that they had, did what they knew. they did the best that they knew how. And that can be a very freeing thing to know that they were just human beings who happened to have children. But more foundationally, I think it really is about starting to instill new beliefs. And a lot of the time what happens is, you know, we want to just ignore what happened or want to just run to the new thing, the new belief. And absolutely, that's what we should do. What we have to understand is there is a belief that we're replacing. And so the easiest and the best way that I've found is really working with your subconscious mind and subconscious reprogramming. And how can you do that? Some of the best ways to do that, that I found anyway, and I think research supports this, is literally subconscious reprogramming. So using things like hypnotherapy. Hypnotherapy is a wonderful and really proven way of helping you get right into your subconscious mind. But it also really starts with, if hypnotherapy is not your thing or something you don't want to explore, our self-talk. How we speak to ourselves is the very beginning, because throughout the day, you're constantly having a dialogue with yourself in your mind. And so I think that if you were to take one thing and to start foundationally, it's literally just observing. What are the things that I say to myself in a day? And are those things that I would say to a friend? Are those things that are supportive and nurturing towards myself? Are they words that speak affirmation, that speak possibility into me? So it's really just starting with not even trying to change anything, but starting with observing. Do I beat myself up constantly? And then a simple habit that you can start to instill is one that I do every single day. And this is actually inspired by a mentor of mine. So you mentioned that I'm a certified habits coach, and I was certified through a gentleman named BJ Fogg, Dr. BJ Fogg. And he has a wonderful book called Tiny Habits. And BJ has been studying human behavior for, gosh, now almost 30 years at Stanford University. He's the head of the Behavior Design Institute at Stanford. And one of the things that he's noticed in his research is, as human beings, our minds are very geared towards the negative. And it's a survival mechanism. You know, if you can look out for all the possible wrong things or bad things that could happen, it's how you keep yourself alive. And in the process, one of the things that we're not very good at as human beings is celebrating ourselves. So he said consistently in his research, didn't matter what socioeconomic, race, sex, anything, the thing that most people struggle with is celebrating ourselves. So I think to start to change our mindset is really looking at the end of every day, what are three things that I'm proud of myself for that day. And it starts to really, like, there's something called the reticular activating system in your brain, which is almost like your radar. It's what your brain says, oh, look out for these things because they're important. So when you tell your brain, I want to look for three things that I'm proud of, throughout the day, your brain's now scanning for information. But, oh, you know, is this something she should be proud of? And so that's a really simple way that you can start to rewire your mind to start to look for positivity in your world.
I love those suggestions. It's interesting you say that, because the other day I was launching a project, and I usually try to do a lot of, like, that self-talk, hype myself up probably a little bit too much, but I don't care. But I got into, like, this negative downward spiral because my project was not going well. And all of a sudden it was just like a half an hour of, like, panic and, like, what am I going to do? How am I going to tell this to my client? And it just kept spiraling and spiraling and spiraling. And all of a sudden I stopped myself and I was like, I have to change the way I'm speaking to myself, because look what I've created. Look how far I've made it. Look how many of these projects I've done that have been extremely successful. And I turned the knob. And by the end of it, I felt so much better. And then I was able to focus better on the issues of the project and be like, I can fix this. This is a challenge, and completely turned it. And so I love that suggestion, because it's so easy to think about all of the things that are wrong, all of the things that you're not doing right, And just like literally it snowballs.
And one of the things, you know, that people, I guess we don't think about is the fact that we are the thinker of our thoughts. We're not our thoughts, right? So you actually have a choice about, I want to change my thought, or this, I don't like this thought. And this isn't, because sometimes I get people say to me, this is all kumbaya and, you know, all, you know, peace and light and positivity only. This isn't about positive vibes only. Sometimes it is, you know, there are hard things and sometimes you haven't done a good job and it's okay. And I think what we need to do in those scenarios is to separate yourself from the thing. Sometimes we personalize it and we make it, I am a bad blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, whereas you just did a bad thing or you did a, gave a bad presentation. It doesn't make you a bad presenter or, you know, this launch didn't go well. Everybody has launches that don't go well and, you know, those kinds of things. So it's really looking at the thing and not personalizing it and making it about yourself. So it's really realizing, as I said, that you're the thinker of your thoughts and you get to choose what thoughts you think. And also understanding that your thoughts create. So literally everything, us having this conversation started with a thought. You had a thought to create a podcast, then you had a thought to have a guest, and then you had a thought to invite me. Everything starts with thought. And so when you really understand the power of your thoughts, that your thoughts, literally everything that we see around us was once a thought in somebody's mind. And so understanding that we have such power by how we use our thoughts and how we choose to think, and how you think is a choice.
Yeah. And that kind of goes to the whole, like, your self-worth impacts all of your abilities to achieve goals.
100%. If you believe, you know, that saying, if you believe you can, if you believe you can't, you're right. And so it's really, if you're going into a project thinking, I'm so terrible and I can't do this, and it's going to be very hard for you to do the thing, because that's your mind will give you, your subconscious mind will give you exactly what you're saying. It, one of the things as well, again, going back to the study of the subconscious mind, is the fact that your subconscious mind doesn't reason. Your logical mind, your conscious mind, you can reason and say, is this true? Is this not true? Your subconscious mind just accepts instructions as, there you go, there's an instruction and this is the truth. It's not going to challenge it or argue with it. So it's really being conscious of, what are we feeding our subconscious mind? What are we saying is possible for us? And again, as you rightly said, everything going back to our self-love, our self-worth. What do we believe about ourselves?
I received several messages from you guys loving Dipsy, which is an app full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories designed by women for women. It is your go-to place to spice up your me time, explore your fantasies, or heat things up with a partner. So if you're feeling a little anxious and overwhelmed, these feelings can make it hard to shift gears and get in the mood. With Dipsy, you can focus on what makes you feel good. The majority of erotic content is designed from and for the male perspective, but not Dipsy. Dipsy was created with women's needs and desires in mind. It tells diverse stories from diverse perspectives, stories that can be enjoyed by all sorts of people. Dipsy is great for anyone looking to spark their imagination and enter an erotic space. And for listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/BBB. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/BBB. That's dipsystories.com/BBB.
So I know that you have said that you've read Tiny Habits. I'm absolutely going to put that on my list. Have you also read Atomic Habits?
100%. Yes. And here's a fun fact, actually. James Clear actually studied with BJ Fogg at Stanford. Yeah.
I love that. I loved that book. It really changed a lot of my mindset. So I'm excited. I'll check out the Tiny Habits one, especially if he studied under him. And you were talking about habits and how they affect our goals. And I'm curious your take on this. Why is it so hard for people to stick to new habits or goals that they set for themselves? And will you text my husband that answer?
I'll text your husband the answer. And here's why it's so hard for us to stick to our goals. Number one, if you're setting a goal and want to create a habit, it has to come from a place of this being something you really want to do. I often read stuff where, you know, and this is stuff that, you know, again, as I said, I spend a lot of time talking to BJ Fogg, who studies this for a living. And we often read stuff that says, oh, it takes 21 days or 60 days or 90 days or whatever days to instill a habit. And yes, there is a part of habits that is based on repetition, repetition, repetition. But when you think about, for most people who are listening, how long did it take for it to become a habit for you to go on whatever your favorite social media platform is? Was it 21 days? Was it 60 days, 30 days? Or was it, boom, immediate? Right? Most of us have never had to have encouragement or reminder to go on our Instagram or our Facebook. And that comes from desire, that is something that you like doing. It's something that makes you feel good. Now, this is the part where it comes a little bit sticky for most people. A great example, and one that a lot of people ask me about, is, for example, exercise. I don't love to exercise. There's no day where I woke up and I was like, yes, I can't wait to exercise. And so in that scenario, what you're tying your habit to isn't necessarily the activity itself. What's your bigger reason, your bigger why? And that's another book that I love, is Start With Why. Your why is what needs to carry you through that resistance. So if your why is, I, you know, want to be healthy for, you know, my daughter's, you know, to be able to see my children grow up, or I want to be healthy because, you know, I want to prevent heart disease because it runs in my family. That then becomes the bigger why. Because a lot of the time, the habit itself is, might not be something that you want to do. But here's a formula, and I'm sharing with you a formula that actually BJ talks about in his book, Tiny Habits, and it's what he teaches us as coaches in his program, is the way that you create a habit is literally as simple as A, B, C. Okay, so what do we mean by A, B, C? So for you to do a habit, the easiest way to do the habit is to have an anchor. You've read this if you read James Clear's book, right? Where there's an anchor, a prompt. So one of the things that BJ talks about is that there is no behavior, no habit that happens without some prompt. There has to be some trigger, some cue, some reminder. So you need a really strong prompt to say, hey, it's time for you to exercise. So what could that prompt be? So for example, if you're someone who exercises first thing in the morning, maybe it's the night before you go to bed, you lay out your exercise clothes. So when you wake up in the morning, they're the first thing that you see. Oh, that's my prompt. I've got to exercise. And then the B of the formulas, A, B, C, the B is do the behavior. As soon as you have that prompt to do the thing, do the thing. Because what happens with most of us is, okay, I've had the prompt, it's time for me to exercise. Oh, but I have some emails to write. Oh, but I'll do it later. The minute you get into negotiation with yourself, it's game over. You're not going to do it. So literally get in the habit, the self-integrity, going back to self-love, self-integrity of my anchor, my trigger to do the thing, I do the behavior. And then the C is what we're talking about a little bit earlier, where most people struggle with celebrating themselves. And so celebrate yourself when you've done whatever your habit is that you're trying to establish. And why the celebration? So BJ's research shows that celebration releases feel-good hormones, right? You acknowledge yourself, that feeling of, oh, I did a good job. And if you can right immediately associate the celebration with the behavior, then it's almost kind of sort of like, you know, when you're training your dog, right? And you teach them to sit And when they sit, you give them the treat right away. That is your treat, is the celebration of yourself. You don't say, oh, I'll celebrate. Or if we go back to the dog, training your dog example, you're not going to say to the dog sat and then 3 hours later, oh, yeah, well done. Here's the treat. Because now it's not made that connection. So for you to anchor in the habit, A, have your anchor. B, do the behavior. C, celebrate yourself. And celebrate doesn't have to be like, oh, let's throw a party. It can literally just be a mental, good job. Or, you know, pat yourself or do a little happy dance, whatever the thing is. That releasing of good hormones in your body signals to your body, hey, we want to do that again. And so the next time it becomes easier and easier. And then that's how you start to anchor in the habit.
Yeah, I like that. The other thing that I liked about what James Clear said was, for same for you, like implementing these new habits is like breaking them down. So maybe it is putting the clothes on the nightstand. Okay, that's like the first thing, you've done that. And then the next thing is putting them on. The next thing that he had mentioned was like driving to the gym. And then the next thing was like, go inside and work out for 5 minutes. And then eventually it's like, for the people who need a little bit extra assistance, right? And eventually you get to the point where it's like, you've done all those things, you're in the gym, you're like, well, I'm here, I should do it more than 5 minutes. And so I think that was another thing, another call out that made me think like, oh, I like the smaller steps, because it's one thing to say, I'm going to put those clothes on and go to the gym. But like sometimes for people, that's actually very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to throw that out there as well.
You make a really great point. One of the mistakes that people make with trying to establish new habits is trying to, number one, do too many things at once. So New Year, I'm going to stop drinking and I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to wake up early and I'm going to, it's too many things. And so you're setting yourself up to fail. Do one thing, focus on one thing. And going back to, you know, talking about BJ Fogg and his book, Tiny Habits, that's why he called it Tiny Habits. Start small, start with, even if you feel like, yeah, you know, in the past I used to work out for 90 minutes or whatever and I could do it. No. Scale back, start small, set yourself up for you to feel something that's called success motivation, because that also is going to keep you going, where you set yourself up to be successful with a small thing. And just naturally, as you said, you will feel like, hey, I've done 5 minutes, I may as well do 10, and then you'll do 10, and I may as well do 15. So it'll naturally lead you to doing more and to doing it more consistently as well.
Yeah. And how do we get to the point where, okay, we're following through with our habits, but how do they become like in our subconscious? We just do it.
You literally, again, until it becomes second nature, you always want to keep that prompt, that anchor, that reminder to do it. And then you'll just get to a point where you don't, when you get to the point where you don't, you're like, oh, I just got up and I exercised. I didn't even have to think about it. When it becomes, I think the part where you realize that a habit is ingrained is when it becomes a part of your identity, right? When it becomes, I'm a person who wakes up and exercises every morning, or I'm a person who eats healthy. Then you know now, yes, you can, you don't need the manual anchor to remind you, because it's become a part of your identity. It's become a part of who you are and what you do. And you don't have to negotiate or think about it every single day. It just is something that you do.
Yeah. And I like your suggestion of tying these habits that you want to the why. Like, why are you doing this habit? Why are you interested in it? Because I think that that helps as an extra motivator when you don't want to do it, to tie it back of like, this is actually, like, for example, if exercising because you're on the verge of being diagnosed with diabetes or something, and it's like, I don't want to be diagnosed with diabetes and have to take medicine or insulin because I want to live a long life for my children and their children. And it's like, if a priority comes up, an email comes up, what's more important? That email or the fact that I want to remain healthy and I don't want to be diagnosed with diabetes down the road? I really like that suggestion, because it's easy to say in like real time, that email is the most important thing. And so when you connect it to a bigger meaning, like that email is never going to be more important than your actual why.
And you know, something else that a lot of people do is they should themselves, right? We're going through life doing things because we think we should. A great one that I was talking to somebody, one of my coaching clients recently, was about morning routines. You know how on social media, it was all the rage to have morning routine and be part of the 5 a.m. club. That's all good and well, and that's amazing if that's who you are and if that's something that you want to do, right? But when you're doing it because you think you should do it, it's going to be very hard to sustain. And I think ultimately it comes down to what is it that you really want? What is it that makes you feel good? So with this particular client that I was talking to, for her, she doesn't love getting up at 5 a.m. She's not a morning person. And so she was like, why am I struggling? Like, I set the alarm and then I press the snooze and then I feel bad about myself. How many people wake up like that, where the first thing that's happened in your day is you feel bad about yourself because you press the snooze button? And what I was saying to her is it's because that's a should goal. It's not what you really want. It's because you think you should be doing it. And instead, it's about embracing what works with your lifestyle. So for her, she does really well working late at night. So I'm like, so get up. If getting up at 9 a.m. is your thing, get up at 9 a.m. It's not about, following by rote some other person's routine or some other person's suggestion. What works for you? Finding what works for you and then making that work. You're more likely to stick with something if it's something that actually works with your lifestyle.
I love that suggestion. It is such a good call out because I typically like to wake up early, but I actually fell victim to this of like, I'm going to get up a little bit extra early and I'm going to get on the elliptical at the house and work out. And yes, as soon as I hit snooze, I felt bad about myself.
So think about that, right? That's the first thought is like, oh, I'm such a loser. And then think about going back to our thoughts and how our thoughts tend to spiral, right? They're almost like snowballs. Like one bad thought creates another bad thought. And then before you know, you've had a really bad day. And so what a terrible way to wake up feeling bad about yourself. So set yourself up to feel good. If waking up at 9 a.m. works for you, then just figure out your ideal schedule to say, this is when I want to wake up. This is when I do my best work. And that's what's perfect for you.
Right. Yeah. I love that call out. I think that's such a great suggestion. And I think that as humans, we have to give ourselves a little bit more grace and say, what does work well for me? What do I actually want? Or am I just watching people on social media, the influencers that I follow, or, the podcast people that I'm listening to, where they're talking about all these great experiences and how they do it. And like, are they? Is that actually reality? Who knows? But yeah, taking a step back and giving yourself some grace of like, it's okay to not be that way. Yeah. Like, figure out what is important for you. So I love that suggestion.
That is when we talk about self-love, part of self-love is self-compassion, being kind to ourselves. We're typically so hard on ourselves. Like we use, as I said, our words to beat ourselves up, to tell ourselves all of the ways that we think we're failing. And really, are we using words that are affirming, that are self-loving? And so I really think that that's something that all people need is more self-compassion. And sometimes I have people say to me, oh, but if I'm self-compassionate, isn't that like being soft on myself and letting myself off the hook? There's a big difference. And within yourself, that difference of, okay, here I'm letting myself off the hook versus, you know what? I'm being so hard on myself and I just need to give myself a break. And it's about, I think the easiest way to frame that is, if you had a best friend, what would you say to them? Like, would you beat them, over the head with the mistake that they'd made or something where they hadn't done things right? And also, if you had a true best friend, if you're a good friend, you're going to call your friend out when they do things that aren't right. And so it's really treating yourself in that way as if you were your own best friend. There are times to call yourself out, but there are also times where it's like, you know what? Cut yourself some slack. Be kind to yourself.
Agreed. So if you could have anyone listening get one piece of advice from this episode, what would it be?
It would be the one thing that I say all the time on my own podcast. You are worthy. You are worthy to be, you are worthy to do, you are worthy to have anything and everything that your heart desires. And where we go wrong a lot of the time is where we don't believe we are worthy. We don't believe we deserve. We don't believe, we doubt our own abilities. We doubt our, you know, I love the Marianne Williamson poem, which talks about we're afraid of our own light. And so we're the ones who stand in the way. We're the ones who self-sabotage ourselves because we don't believe in ourselves and our self-worth. And so it really is for people to know that if you have a dream, if you have a dream, there's a reason that dream was given to you. You know, your dreams are never going to look the same as my dreams. And you have to think about, why was I given the dream that I was given? And truly for me, I believe that anytime you have a dream, it's sacred. I feel like it's the universe communicating with you, and it's yourself, your higher self saying, this is what you're worthy of. And where we feel bad is where we're in conflict or in opposition with what the universe knows is our infinite possibility. So it truly is, you are worthy.
Sandra, thank you. You are one badass basic bitch. I so appreciate you being on this episode. Where can everyone find you?
I love to hang out on Instagram. So you can find me at sandra.chuma on Instagram. You can also find me on Instagram under iamworthy.co. And in terms of my website, it's my name, it's sandrachuma.com. And you can also find all the information about the programs that I have, things that I'm running on my website, iamworthy.com.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
As always, thank you for listening. Check us out on Instagram at @badassbasicbitch. And thank you to Saw and Sign, our production studio. We'll see you next week.